Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and my name is your name too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. I missed all of you last week. As our regular listeners know, we had to do a re-airing last week because I was not available, and I had no way of telling most of you, well, I did if you were tuned in. But if you were tuned in on Ham Radio and following Amron.com, myself and a group of Amron Core operators deployed to the fires in North Central Washington last week, not this week, last week. And I'm going to tell you that story, and then we're going to get to the interview because we got a great interview lined up with somebody who's going to help put some of this, what's happened this week, into perspective financially. We're going to talk about preparedness. We're talking about a potential economic collapse that many of the experts and analysts are saying is inevitable. But while we are planning for this catastrophic event, there are our fellow countrymen who are right now experiencing catastrophic events. Now, last week, I got an email in the middle of the week from someone. Actually, let me back up a little bit. As you guys know, we also run a nationwide disaster preparedness, a disaster communications network of like-minded God-fearing patriots who are, many of them, most of them are licensed ham operators. Some of them are not. They operate other types of communications. But it's a network to stay connected on a nationwide scale in case of a disaster. Well, towns began getting evacuated in North Central Washington. I put out an alert for all of those involved in the network to start monitoring a specific frequency, 7.242 on the HF ham bands, just in case any of our members or anybody who follows Amron needs to call out for help. We want to have people monitoring. And then I got an email from someone said, I can tell you what's going on the ground right now, and this is a worst case scenario. What he described was a grid down situation where towns, whole towns, were grid down. Specifically, the town he's from, Conconole, Washington. Now, I already did a full debriefing on this on Partisan Radio last Sunday night. You can go back and listen to that. You can go to Amron.com, Amron.com. That's the American Readout Radio Operators Network.com, Amron.com. And see the situation report that I put up there in pictures and what we did for those folks, because we were their only lifeline to the outside of that community. And it was a very rewarding, very demanding, even though it was brief. It was a three-day deployment for us, in and out. As soon as they got landlines hooked up, we pulled out of the town, and the fire was no longer a threat. At that time, it was diverted. They had two fires converging on this little town. It was about 95% evacuated, no food, no water, electricity, nothing in this town. So we went in to set up disaster emergency communications, allowing them to take care of business, coordinate relief and the movement of vehicles or equipment for fighting fires, as well as welfare traffic. We were able to connect to nodes to allow them to send emails and texts to their loved ones to let them know they're okay and they miss each other, just to stay in contact with each other. It was great. But that's why we were in the thick of it last Saturday when I was supposed to be on the air. I was hoping to be able to remote broadcast from there, but we were grid down, like in the movies. Empty town, ghost town, except for administrators, city administrators, just a small handful of citizens and firefighting crews and us. We had the whole town to ourselves, about 35 of us. But it was, it is still going on. And in fact, today the dust storms are just hitting. I'm getting reports that the dust storm is already hitting Spokane, up to 55 mile an hour winds with lightning, potential lightning storms. The worst type of weather conditions you can have for a firefighting or fire wildfire season. And that's where we're at. So while many of us are focused on the big picture, the economic collapse and where our country's going, there are folks that are really going through a disaster right now. And in fact, Florida, we have a this tropical storm now. They don't know if it's going to pick up and become a hurricane yet. We're watching this. Tropical storm Erica could become a hurricane. It's just now hitting Florida. We've got a posting up there for information where you can track the hurricanes as well. We'll be right back in just a minute with this interview. Looking forward to it.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Herbert A. Philbrick.
What is communism? I've been on the inside of communism. From this knowledge, I tell you as simply and seriously as I know how. Communism is a lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, as J. Edgar Hoover says, a criminal conspiracy. I'm choosing these words deliberately. Lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government. It's an international criminal conspiracy.
All right, welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, and as I mentioned, we have a very special guest today because there is so much confusion going on out in the world right now with this financial tempest that we're in, this economic collapse. Is it an economic collapse? Is it just a season that we just need to ride out and it'll be over with in a couple months? Back to the recovery that they're telling us we're in. But we want to get to the truth of the matter. Right now we're economically sick. And when you're sick, you need a doctor. So we just happen to have the America's financial doctor with us today, Dr. Kirk Elliott. He's an economist as well as a political, economic, and social commentator. He's known as America's financial doctor. He's also the founder of Today's America, which is a community bringing together some of the most well-known social and fiscal conservatives in the country on issues that we care about, like the sanctity of life, sanctity of marriage, politics, economic freedom, religious freedom, culture, a whole worldview that makes sense, well-grounded. And recently, Dr. Elliott was the writer and producer of an alarming DVD, which is really a wake-up call to America. And it's titled 300 Million Slaves. And they're not talking about someone else, talking about us. So we're going to get to all of this, and we want to try to find out
what's going on in the world, how to make sense of it, how it affects us, and what we can do about it. So, Dr. Kirk Elliott, it is an honor to have you with us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John. It's an honor to be with you. And thanks for those kind words on the introduction.
Yeah, well, you have a reputation that's going out before you. You are highly recommended by some people that I really respect. They said, you've got to get this guy, his message, what he's got to say, you got to get this in front of as many people as possible. And after I read your bio, I saw the work that you were doing, I completely agreed. So right now, we just went through – this is very timely just because we're just rounding out one of the most bizarre, insane roller coaster rides, economically speaking, that I don't know if we've – when we encountered that last – I don't remember when we've gone through so much volatility. So help us make sense of what happened this week, and we'll talk about what led up to it and what we can expect in the days, weeks, months to come. We crashed on Monday, Black Monday, and then now everything's fine. Back to normal. The Dow Jones is doing great, so everybody go back to sleep. Right?
Well, you know, sadly, this is just the beginning of the roller coaster ride. We've just gone down the first little hill and started coming up the second one. There's a lot of twisty, curvy things, coming up next, including some of the crazy upside down spirals. I mean, that's all the stuff that's coming up, John. What we saw, the Dow Jones, 1,000-point drop at the opening, and then it closes 600 and something points down.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, That's a big day. I mean, but we're down a good 1,500-1,600 points in just the last couple of weeks. I mean, that's on an 18,000 point Dow, and we're down that much. That's a huge percentage drop.
Yes.
Well, we're not even in September, October yet, which is when you normally have some of these big drops. But what was this in response to? Well, this was in response to China devaluing its yuan, dumping $102 billion worth of U.S. treasuries back on the open market. I mean, they are starting to get rid of their toxic assets, which sadly they're thinking U.S. treasuries are the toxic asset. I mean, isn't that alarming?
It is. And that's what triggered all this. We kept saying China fears, markets are shaken by China fears. What does that mean?
Well, the Chinese stock market, I mean, it's a house of cards. It's built on more debt than what we have. Actually, twice as much leverage debt in the Shanghai exchange as compared to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. I mean, tons of leverage. They had an astronomical increase over the last couple of years, and everyone is saying, oh, China, the next big, huge global superpower, manufacturing superpower,
yes,
the grass is greener on the other side. You know what? All built on debt.
Lies.
And so they saw a 35% reduction in the Chinese stock market in just the last 10 weeks.
Yes.
10 weeks. Over one third of everything that's been accumulated on the Chinese stock market over time evaporated in the last couple of months. I mean, this is so much so that the IMF was saying, hey, we're considering adding China, their currency, to our basket of special drawing rights, basically making them a reserve currency. Well, after this stock market collapse, the Christine Lagarde comes out and says, China, we don't think that you're ready for it. Let's put you on a provisional basis. We'll talk about it again next October.
Yeah.
So here's what's happening is the U.S. dollar is falling off the face of the planet. The American economy is, well, the European Union, the euro as the poster child for a regionally integrated currency,
yes,
is falling apart. Now China's falling apart. So what comes next? Really, what comes next? And I think that we are probably looking at the emergence of a completely new monetary paradigm, some kind of a global currency system to eliminate all facets of arbitrage, eliminate all competition. Look, there is no competition left if the dollar is falling, the euro is falling, China is falling,
yeah,
Japan Well, don't even consider them. They've been in a recession for 40 years.
I mean, right, it's like, yeah.
So what's left? Nothing, except for a global currency type system where, and I think it's going to be a cyber currency. I think it's going to be a digital type currency because that helps eliminate some of the fraud. I'm just trying to think the way that the monetary elite are thinking.
That's how they'll sell it.
Yeah. They'll say, hey, we can get rid of fraud. It's going to be easy. There's all competition is gone. You're not going to have American. It's imperialist power. They're not going to squander their time in the sun like Britain did before them and the Dutch did before them. This whole reserve currency system, it's out the door. All we have is one. Well, when all you have is one and it's digital, it becomes very easy for power and control to actually
of biblical proportions.
People groups or religious groups of biblical proportions saying, hey, we're not going to allow you to buy and sell because you're kind of a political activist. We don't like what you say, or a religious activist or whatever reason. I mean, we are talking about end times, last days stuff, prophetically speaking, playing out before our very eyes potentially.
Yeah, and the lie that we've gotten that, you know, like you said, China is the superpower. They're the ones that are buying more gold, metric tons of gold than anybody else. They're preparing for this collapse when the opposite is true. They are not ready for this. And this is what scares me. I'd like to get your take on this. We've borrowed trillions of dollars from China and leveraged natural resources to do it. What I'm concerned about, this is what scares me. I don't live in fear. My hope and trust is in the Lord. But the consequences of the people that have placed us in this position, when the repo man comes, when he's hurting, when China is tanking, and we've borrowed trillions of dollars from them and leveraged our natural American natural resources to back it. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, we start to connect the dots here. I think this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of a currency war is what it amounts to, because when China is getting rid of their toxic assets, the U.S. dollar, and they're dumping $100 billion, they keep this up for 18 weeks. They run out of U.S. treasuries. They will have extinguished their entire position by the end of this year. So what they're doing is they're increasing the supply. This is just economics 101 stuff, John. So massive amount of supply of U.S. treasuries out there in the open market. Nobody wants them. How do you attract more foreign capital inflows into this? Well, you have to raise the rates. So here's what happens. You start raising the rates from 2% to, let's say, 4%. Okay, you'll think, okay, nominally, that's just a 2% increase. No, it's not. That's doubling of the rate.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. Imagine people who carry debt. If you carry credit card debt, if you have an adjustable rate mortgage, even buying a new home, refinancing a home, that's going to basically double the rate that you had before. This will crush anybody who carries any debt.
Yes.
So, but this isn't just an American-centric thing, because what happens is it's a globally competitive marketplace for foreign capital inflows to fund the European Union, to fund Japan, to fund China. This is why they have yields on their treasuries, to try to attract more foreign capital inflows.
Right.
So when we raise ours, Europe is going to say, wait a second, the United States, we're not getting the money that we used to get because it's going to them because they raise their rate. We're going to raise ours. And then China says, well, wait a second, we're not getting anything anymore because now it's going to Europe and America, and so we're going to raise our rate, and Japan does the same thing. And then it comes full circle, and we raise our rates again, and this vicious cycle starts. And this is called competitive devaluation or currency wars. Call it what you want, but this means anybody who carries any debt is going to feel the pinch. And as Americans, we're basically living at the margin. I don't care if you make $15,000 a year or $500,000 a year. People tend to live a lifestyle that's commensurate with their income.
Yes.
And we're living at the margin. And people living at the margin, when their income doesn't go up, but their debt service does, they're going to get squeezed out.
Now, is that where... I'm sorry. Is that where we reach the point of what is called deflation as opposed to inflation?
boy, I don't think you can say across the board we're going to have deflation or across the board we're going to have inflation. I think it's going to be sector based. So you'll see deflation in things where people can't afford to buy stuff, maybe like houses. You know, housing is a function of interest rates and unemployment. Yeah. You know, if people aren't working and interest rates are 15-20%, people sometimes laugh when I say 15 or 20%, how short of a memory we have. That's what it used to cost to get a 30-year mortgage in 1983. It was 18%.
That's right.
I mean, it was. I mean, but we've had 30 years of declining interest rates to right now. They're the lowest point in history. Where can they go from here? They can only go up.
Yep.
And they have to, because as a PhD economist, I don't care if interest rates are high or low. I want to know why we got there, because once we understand the why, we can then allocate accordingly, protect and preserve and the whole thing. So early 80s, this is what happened. But why? Late 70s, what of our economy at that time? We had high unemployment. We had massive taxation through the roof. Marginal tax rate for the highest income earner was 90%. We had a recession in this country. People weren't spending money. And subsequently, the dollar stunk overseas. And it's like, wait a second, Kirk. What you're describing is today, not the late 70s.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sadly, history repeats itself. And if we fail to learn from it, we're doomed to repeat it. And so this is the same cycle that happens all over again. Same exact scenario as the late 70s. In 1980, Paul Volcker, chairman of the Federal Reserve, came in and said, hey, America, I can fix this. It's not going to be pretty, but the way to stimulate foreign demand for our currency when we're treating our currency like monopoly money and as it stinks, we have to raise rates. Now, all of a sudden, if you're China, you're scratching your chin and you're saying, hey, America, you might treat your currency like monopoly money, but you're now paying 15% on it. There's a reward to the risk we're taking.
Yeah.
They're going to have to raise rates again. And Janet Yellen today, I mean, not today, but within the last few months, has said, we've got to raise rates. We have to. I think her raising rate has been delayed because the Shanghai Stock Exchange, the Dow, got shellacked.
Yes.
And so I think that the raising rates got pushed off until probably first quarter of January, February, maybe. But they're coming. This is going to impact everything. It's going to crush people who are in fixed income. If you own bonds, get out. You are going to get crucified. They might even be illiquid. Stock market is interest rates go up, is going to get crushed. Why? Because people are going to spend less money because their debt service goes up. And so PE ratios are going to come down. Real estate is going to get crushed as interest rates rise, because that's a direct correlation. It costs more to buy a house with higher rates.
Sure.
So this is the era that where we had declining rates for the last 30 years, which has caused a boom in the stock market, a boom in the bond market, a boom in real estate. Now it's actually time for a bust. A bust always follows a boom, and that's where we are because of where we are in the interest rate cycle. Pure and simple.
We've gotten ourselves so tangled. Right now, we're seeing all these candidates step forward saying, vote for me. This economy's a mess, and we need to fix it. Vote for me. And I'm shaking my head. I've lost confidence in the system. What do you think? Do you think it matters who's president? Are we not so deep that it can be fixed?
You know what? Does it matter? Yes, it matters though more on the social issues. It matters more on some of the policies that are just eroding our culture from the inside out.
Right.
But from a financial perspective, no, it's too late. Pippa Malmgren, who was on Bush's plunge protection team, she's a PhD economist. She wrote a book called Signals. Fantastic. She said it's mathematically impossible to pay off our debt. Well, if it's mathematically impossible to pay off the debt at $18 trillion, let's play this out. That means taxes are a moot point, correct? Because if it's impossible, it's impossible. You could have tax rates at 100%. It's still impossible.
Yeah, why keep us down?
So then what comes next? The only two arrows they have left in their quiver is austerity or inflation. Well, inflation, it means they have a printing press. You print, which is what every central bank around the world is doing, trying to print their way out of this. But that deflates their currency even more, causes inflation or austerity, like we've seen in Greece and Cyprus, which just means cut of government spending, cutting entitlements, cutting all these government programs. Well, sadly, this is what they're going to have to cut here, because if you look at the real numbers on the budget,
staggering.
No joke. 82% of everything we bring in goes out towards mandatory payments, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, women, infant, children programs. 82%. It's over $2 trillion of $2.8 trillion that we bring in. So can you run the country on the 18% that's left? No. This is why it's impossible. It's impossible to pay off the debt. So even if we replaced everybody in Congress and the president with all of them, I'm talking everybody, all 535 members of Congress with God-fearing, fiscally conservative, socially conservative, Tea Party-type candidates, you know what? They still inherit $18 trillion worth of debt that's mathematically impossible to pay off.
Yeah.
This cycle will complete itself.
And
it completes itself by falling apart.
And the right thing to do would be to implement austerity. And if you thought you saw riots in the streets of Greece when they implemented austerity, can you imagine what would absolutely come undone in the streets of America if they started taking all of those things away?
We've seen what a taste of what that looks like in Ferguson and in Baltimore.
Yes.
I mean, those were race riots. We're not talking about race warfare here. We're talking about mommies and daddies not being able to feed their babies. Even wonderful Christian people, when they have their babies starving in front of them, can turn into monsters.
This is what it's going
to look like all over the country, in every city across America, when they start cutting your food stamps, when they start cutting your entitlements by 50%, when they cut your government pension. You know, because a pension is just it's a legalized Ponzi scheme. Ultimately, at some point, you have too many people in retirement, too few people paying into the system.
Yes.
That's all Social Security is. That's what happened on GM when the bankruptcy court judge says, all right, you thought you were going to get 75% of your highest income for the rest of your life. Sorry. If you worked here for less than 25 years, you get 20 grand. If you worked here for more than 25, you get 120,000 lump sum, period. That's it. No income moving forward. Done.
Yeah, and I personally know people who they're very concerned about their pensions right now because of the instability and some of the decisions that might have to be made to affect these guys. They're seeking guidance right now on how to get the most of my money without getting nailed in taxes, but without losing all of it by not withdrawing it. And this is a delicate balancing act they're trying to do right now.
It is, but when interest rates go up, see, most pensions, whether they're state pensions, like, 48 out of the 50 state pensions are going to go bankrupt. They will. I mean, there's a study out of Kellogg School of Business at Northwestern that shows over the next 30 or so years, 48 of the 50 state pensions go belly up. What does that mean for all the state employees, for the teachers, the educators, the government workers? It means that what they thought they were going to get, they're not going to get. See, pensions, annuity contracts are horrible because insurance companies are 100%, 80 to 100% allocated into bonds in their internal investments. Well, as interest rates go up, the value of bonds comes down. So as they start making, you know, beneficiary payments when people die, because that's what life insurance companies do, they extinguish their cash positions. What do? They have to sell their assets. Just like you and I would, yes. If we ran out of money, we'd have to have a garage sale. Their version of a garage sale is selling off their assets. If all they have is bonds and bonds are falling off the face of the cliff, you're going to have AIG after AIG after AIG. This is what's coming because we have come to the edge of the road and debt has become the Achilles heel, not just of America, but of the global economy. And there's really no other way to put it. There's no other way out.
And individual families.
Collapse.
From the individual all the way up to the highest level. Debt.
Yeah. Debt.
Amazing.
I mean,
hey, we got to take a quick break here, but your website, let's get that thrown out there for America's Financial Doctor.
Yeah, actually, sadly, that one, Google just shut it down. I have to rebuild it. So KirkElliottPhD.com, that's K-I-R-K-E-L-L-I-O-T-T, two L's and two T's, PhD.com. That's the website. You can read about me, find all my stuff on there.
Kirk Elliott, PhD. Outstanding. Okay, we are going to take a quick break. We are talking to economist Kirk Elliott, PhD, and we're getting a really good eye-opener. We're going to talk about what that means to you, what you can do about it, what we can do about it as God-fearing American patriots to prepare for the days ahead. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay right there.
If there is any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Redoubt, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776, or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Radio. Free. Readout.
Welcome back from the break. This is Radio Free Redoubt. We are also want to remind you guys, starting next week, we will be across the whole network for the first 30 minutes of Radio Free Redoubt from 11 to 11:30 in Wenatchee, Moses Lake, Spokane, Ephrata, Tri-Cities, Yakima, and we are just so grateful for you guys' support and for your requesting that we expand. You want to hear the message, Radio Free Redoubt, all across the American Redoubt into Eastern Washington, North Idaho, and for all of our live streaming listeners out in the Fruited Plains and in occupied territory. Thank you guys for tuning in. We are with, right now, we're with Dr. Kirk Elliott. He's an economist, economist and political commentator. He's so plugged in, and it's just an honor to have him with us. If you're joining us late, we're going to get that information out there. Kirk Elliott, PhD.com, was it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, super. All right, very good. Now, I'm glad I updated that, because I had the previous website in there, and you're very much involved in a network as well of several very influential people trying to all pull together for, you know, the things that we care about. And you got the website for that as well?
of todaysamerica.com. It's basically just a news site talking about the political, economic, social trends, things that we, you know, a lot of my friends are contributing on there, politicians and things of that nature. And so, yeah, todaysamerica.com.
Perfect.
And we also recorded a DVD, 300 Million Slaves, which just talks about what's happening in our country. Any of the listeners out there, John, you know, if you go to 300millionslaves.com or email me, I will send you the link to that for free. I just want everybody to get it. Our window of opportunity isn't going to be open forever, and I want to get the message out as fast as I can. I don't care to sell it anymore. I just want everybody to have a link to it.
Okay, what we'll do then is we'll thank you very much. It's very gracious of you to do that. And we will link that in the highlights and resources posting for today's show on RadioFreeReadout.com. But you said that they can email you directly to get the link also to – well, could they get it just by going to 300millionslaves.com?
Yes, they can go there. That's how they can find me. But to answer any personal questions, you can reach out to me directly. I would love to take any phone calls,
super,
emails, and you know, just say, hey, I want the free DVD. You know what I'll also do? I've got a 5-part webinar, just a course on navigating the economy that we're living in, called it the Gold and Silver Mastery Program. I'll actually send you links to that as well.
Okay, super. The Gold and Silver Mastery Program. And that's how I actually got turned on to you by Cindy Thompson from The Life Changes, Be Ready. Mm-hmm. Great, great folks over there. And she's the one that caught this webinar and got a hold of me and said, you got to get this guy's message out there to folks. So, and that, how can they email you?
Okay. On that production website, then it's just Kirk, K-I-R-K at todaysamerica.com. Simple. Just Kirk at todaysamerica.com. Tell me you want the Gold and Silver Mastery Program, you want the 300 Million Slaves DVD, and I'll send all of that out to you for free.
Okay, perfect. Kirk, K-I-R-K, at todaysamerica.com. We'll try to remember to get that back out there, too, before we close up here in just a little bit. Time goes so fast, and we're already coming up to the toward the end here. But now, we've identified the problem. We're starting to look. I know it's very complex. It's as much as you can do in a, you know, a brief overview of, you know, a very complex global system that's imploding on itself. What can the individual, what can the Christian patriot out there do to try to prepare for this on the economic side of things?
On the economic side of things, I mean, I'm a firm believer there is no such thing as a bad investment. There's just bad timing for investments. You know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate, they all boomed in the 80s and 90s and into the early 2000s. Best investments you could have had during that time frame. But in 2002, something changed. This is when debt started to become the Achilles heel of our economy. At that point, there was a paradigm shift and gold and silver started to outperform. And so, you know, I'm not a gold and silver guy. I'm not a stock guy. I could care less as long as we're allocated into the right place at the right time to be wise stewards with what the Lord has given us. Now, look, I don't want the goofy policies that government officials make want to erode everything I've worked my entire life to accumulate or yours.
Right.
So what are we looking at right now? Well, right now, it's actually heavy allocation into gold and silver because we're at the end of an interest rate cycle like we talked about. It's going up. When it goes up, the bond market's going to get hit. Real estate's going to get hit. We're at the beginning of this roller coaster like you described at the beginning of the show. So moving forward, gobble up physical, not stocks, not ETFs, not mining shares, physical gold and silver coins and bars that you take delivery of if it's outside of a retirement plan, because this gets you outside of the digital kind of global currency that we talked about earlier. This gets you outside of that system.
Yes.
And you own something that's private, that in a best case scenario, hey, we just lock it in down the road for a huge profit, which I think gold ends up 7,500 to 15,000 an ounce before this is all said and done. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking years down the road, but it's at 1,100 right now. That's a minimum. it's a factor of six greater than what we are right now.
Yes.
That turns a $100,000 investment into $600,000. I mean, of course, that's not a guarantee, but this is just following some of these trends. It's where I think it's going to go. So best case scenario, we lock in profits. We roll it into the next undervalued asset class, you know, whether it's stocks, mutual funds, real estate for income, who knows? We'll know right. then. We don't know now. But worst case scenario, you've got this stuff on hand to trade back and forth with people around you, like trading some silver coins for half a side of beef with a rancher down the road so you can feed your family.
Yeah.
If the currency collapses like I think it's going to, I don't think it's a matter of if, it's a matter of when, you're going to need something that's portable and valuable that you can trade back and forth with for your family to survive. This isn't theory. This has happened in Argentina. This happened yes. in Weimar Republic.
It's happening right this, now.
It is.
In Venezuela,
right now,
in
as we speak.
Ukraine.
Yeah.
The black market is just thriving. They're saying tangible assets, gold and silver, they said is great, but sometimes a pocket full of shells or that side of beef, that's a tangible asset. That's currency to somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in the early 80s, you know, the Dow Jones was 900. It got to 18,000. I mean, whoa, man, that's well over 1,000% gain. Fantastic. I think we're going to see the same thing in gold and silver. These trends repeat themselves.
Yes.
But in a best case scenario, gold and silver aren't going to be the last investment you ever have. We're just going to lock in profits and go into something else down the road. But I don't know if it's going to be a best case scenario. I think as currencies start to collapse, as we have this global debt implosion, as we see the emergence of ISIS, which is basically a huge paradigm shifter globally.
Yes.
You know, Armstrong, he's a cycles analyst guy, says we are converging now on a war and civil unrest cycle. We're reaching a peak. You've got financial stock market analysts who say, who some of them follow 33-year cycles, that are saying, hey, this next peak ends in September of 2015. That's Peter Eladius. Bo Polnick follows a 21-year financial cycle that says, hey, stock market should peak out again in September of 2015. Oh,
wow.
My word. A 33-year cycle, a 21-year cycle. And then you've got the Shemitah year,
yes.
which is a Hebrew spiritual cycle, which is elimination of all debts. That ends September 13th of this year. And then we go into a year of Jubilee, which is elimination of all debts. I think 2016 is going to be an absolute bloodbath for numerous reasons, not just looking at the year of Jubilee and Shemitah year, but we're seeing all these other financial cycles dovetail with the spiritual cycles.
Yes.
And it becomes crazy. So this is how you protect yourself, to answer your question. Gold and silver. If you've got IRAs, we can allocate into physical gold and silver in your IRAs. They just have to be held in a depository. But at some point you take distribution on it when it looks like, hey, we might have a bail-in in this country like they did in Cyprus.
Yep.
Well, at that point, you know, this isn't going to sneak up on us tomorrow. I talk to politicians all the time. You know, this will be coming down the hill like a freight train. We'll have time to jump off the tracks, and we get in touch with you and say, hey, let's take distribution out of your IRA. Who cares if you have to pay taxes or pay a penalty? I'd rather you get the stuff on you, get it out of a depository system,
Amen.
Get it out of a retirement plan, take physical possession of it, because preserving and protecting everything you've worked your entire life to accumulate is key. And we can do that outside or inside of an IRA with precious metals.
Amen. Outstanding. This is really good stuff. Dr. Elliott, I want to thank you so much for being with us. We are at the end of our time now, but just blessings to you. I'd love to follow up with you. We're going to be following your website very closely, KirkElliottPhD.com. Also, for your situational awareness on world events, what it means to you, from some reputable, very reputable persons, todaysamerica.com. And don't forget to go to 300millionslaves.com so you can understand what's happening and why it's affecting us and what we can do about it. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you, and we will be in touch.
All righty.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I hope you guys were inspired by that, and I hope you found that to be useful, helpful, informative. But something that I want to remind you of, as God-fearing patriots, as Christians, as members, as children of God, We are more than conquerors. And you shouldn't be fearful of these things. These things are going to come. But you know what? I want to share some stuff with you because it's super important that we balance the two. Being aware of what's going on and not slipping into cognitive dissonance where you just can't believe what's happening is real. I just can't believe it. Well, believe it. But don't be fearful. We were told that these things were going to happen. And it's a cycle of things. I mean, we've gone through depressions and economic collapse in various different countries, and it's going on right now. So you need to take it, you need to accept the reality of what's happening and take prudent steps to buffer yourself from the effects of it, but not out of fear. I want to share a couple things with you. In Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And it's asking the question, "Of whom shall I be afraid? If the Lord's with me, why would I fear anything?" Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Or not just man, but circumstances. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Fear is not from the Lord. Now, there's some situations that will make you darn afraid, like going into combat or facing somebody who's trying to harm you. You're going to be fearful in those type of situations. That's normal and it's natural. But you shouldn't fear it and be anxious for anything, including economic collapse, disaster, or whatever the case may be. But I want you to realize that it's a reality that you should take action on. Right now, I'm looking at a story in Venezuela, because we've covered this, continuous coverage. When there's food shortages, there's lines, people are lined up. This is happening in many places around the world right now, in the Ukraine as well, most recently, and right now in Venezuela. You cannot get basic things like rice, like toilet paper, your basic food, meat, forget it, on a good day, maybe, and you're going to pay through the nose for it. These are realities. And when you look at the pictures in Venezuela, the store shelves are empty. I mean, wiped out. Now, that's a different country, right? Take this to America. Right now, in hurricane zone, in a hurricane area, Florida, in hurricane season. Well, we're approaching hurricane season. You should probably prepare. I refuse to live in fear. I'm not going to run and stock up on food because I'm not going to live in fear. What does the Bible say about prepping? Is it biblical? Let's take a look. Genesis 6:21 said, "You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." That's talking to Noah, preparing for the flood. He knew danger was coming. He was told to store up. Otherwise, you're going to starve. Pharaoh said to Joseph in Genesis 41, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." And he did. And the Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of storing up food for 7 years so they can make it through 7 years of famine. When in Exodus, the Israelites left Egypt, the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, for supplies. I'm not going to go down and list all of these examples here. Maybe I'll come back to them in a little bit, if we have time. But it is scriptural to prepare. Right now, in Florida, the store shelves are wiped out. They are completely empty. They look like Venezuela. They look like you could take a picture of empty store shelves from any of these disasters, economic collapse, civil unrest, hurricanes, natural disasters, and you could basically Photoshop that picture of the store empty shelves into any article covering some type of disaster event. It looks the same everywhere. Why, when you know, when you see danger coming, why wouldn't you take refuge? Why wouldn't you be prudent? Why wouldn't you store up all the food that you're going to need instead of waiting until the end? Why? Because I refuse to live in fear. I don't want to be labeled a prepper. You know, one of those wackos that stores up 30 days worth of food. But you know what? You run down there with your credit card, and right now there's debit card problems all over the country right now. I'm getting numerous reports. Sometimes the credit will work, but debit cards won't. And this created a little bit of a panic. And in a lot of times in these disaster situations, people go and the ATMs are wiped out. This is what happened in Konkanoli with the fires. The direct deposit stopped. The banks closed. The ATMs got wiped out in just like a couple of hours from the time that all five of these towns around Omak got evacuated. So then everybody scrambles to the store. The stores are wiped out. You go to the ATM. Oh, we only accept cash. You go to the ATM. The ATMs are wiped out. And guess what? All of those people that wouldn't prepare in advance, knowing that danger was on the horizon, waited until, because they didn't want to live in fear, refused to live in fear, they waited until the reality smacked them in the face, and they couldn't deny the scope and size of the disaster. They realize that they're running out of food, so they run down to the store like everyone else, and then they see the store shelves are empty and the ATM won't put out money, and then they go into panic. Now you want to see fear? The mentality is mind-boggling, even among Christians. The Lord sometimes blesses us with advanced warning that danger is coming. That's a blessing. That is the Lord providing for you, taking care of you. When is the Lord not required something of us when He acts in our lives? He always requires something of us. We have to do something. And when we do, He rewards us. When He blesses us with advance warning that economic collapse is coming, social unrest, social breakdown, I mean, now we have people that are murdering other people, and we're seeing a new trend. We're going to see this new trend come in, this new sickness and evil in our world, where people are going to be wearing GoPro cameras, going on these shootings, live streaming their murders, gunning people down and filming it. And we live in a different time. This is not going to be like 1929 stock market crash, Great Depression of the 30s. This is a whole new set of rules. And you are going to have to be self-reliant and not do it out of fear, but do it out of obedience. Do it in response to the blessing that you were giving to know when danger was coming, to take proper steps to provide for you and your family. Because men, that is your responsibility. You need to act like men. You need to face the reality of the danger that we face. This is very real. It's not fear-mongering, and don't do it out of fear, but don't not do it. Do not neglect to prepare now, because when you show up at the store and the store shelves are empty, fear will set in. You're going to realize you've been had, and there's nowhere else. You listen to this interview that we did last week with Codename Delta evacuating. I just posted a picture that he sent of a school bus that he and his fiance were working on and bought and developed into a bug out rig in case they had to, you know, escape danger like forest fires. He neglected to maintain that thing, and the batteries were dead when he needed it the first time last week when they evacuated. And that bug out rig, all perfect, awesome, off-road vehicle, tough, strong engine, strong transmission, all ready to, you know, their mobile shelter, couldn't move because he didn't maintain the batteries. Then fear set in. When they developed that bug out vehicle so they would have shelter, food, water, and shelter if they had to leave in a time of danger, they didn't do it out of fear. They do it because it seemed like the reasonable and the prudent thing to do just in case. It was an insurance policy, and a cheap one at that. But when you fail to maintain your equipment And it comes time to evacuate, and you go to turn the key on that insurance policy, and it won't start, then fear sets in. So have things in proper perspective. And, you know, as Christians, we know that He will take care of us. You do your level best, and you're going to have shortcomings. There's going to be a list a mile long. You'll never complete your list. You'll never feel completely ready for a disaster. And where you have the shortcomings, then you know what? Then that's when you rely on the Lord. You thank Him for the advance warning. And you not only provide for your family, you provide for others. This disaster, we came in from outside the area to help those in need. And those who were prepared were able to help their fellow neighbors, their fellow man. You can't save somebody from drowning if you don't know how to swim, if you can't swim yourself. Be able to swim, and then you can rescue somebody who's drowning. And that's the reasonable and prudent thing to do without being in fear. We're going to be talking more about this and be putting up more updates. And somebody said, you know, the stories of looting, if you guys, I really want to encourage you to go back to last week's episode, 1527 on Radio for Readout, and listen to the interview with Delta. And it's an eye-opener. It is truly an eye-opener. We've posted updates since then. And there are things that happened that we witnessed and that we had eyewitnesses report to us that you never saw on the news. And in fact, some people have had an issue with that. We were reporting and taking eyewitness reports of looting and road closures or ATM machines being down, whatever it is. And we're reporting on this, and we had people say, yeah, I was listening to this interview, and I really like, you know, do you have any independent sources? Because I can't find anybody else talking about that. So if the commercial news stations aren't covering it, it probably didn't really happen. There's so much stuff that happens behind the scenes, and there's so many lessons to be learned and to glean that the mainstream media is not going to cover. They're not going to cover the fact that citizens in the town had to arm themselves and go on patrols. Well, citizens taking the law into their own hands. That's what we don't need to cover that. That would probably only just encourage it, right? But they were quick to report on which towns were evacuated. There's nobody here to guard the homes because it's all been evacuated. All you meth heads out in the hills, this town over here is like, there's nobody there. They'll report that. But they didn't report on the looting. We had multiple people tell us about instances of looting. And when we reported it, we had people questioning it. I haven't heard, is there another source, you know, that can verify this? When you're in it, you're going to get a whole different perspective. Anyway, guys, God bless all of you. You have a great week. Join us tomorrow night, Sunday evening, for our Sunday evening podcast at 8 p.m. at RadioFreeReadout.com. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. God bless.